You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Thanks for joining us on Through the Bible as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, concludes our amazing study in the New Testament book of Hebrews. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and as we finish up in Hebrews and prepare to head to the Old Testament book of Hosea, let's celebrate the end of this part of our journey and then share a few letters from our fellow Bible bus passengers. First, we hear from Elizabeth in Ohio.
This is Elizabeth, but I just had to share how I felt about your ministry this day. I've been a member of the Bible bus for more years than I can even count, and I get your newsletter and all that. But having said that, I just want to say that I have learned more and feel more prayer-driven being a member of the World Prayer Team than anything else. I love the whole ministry, but this reading this every morning, and especially this last 2 days, those two letters just inspired me so much. Every time I listen to them or read them, I pray for their protection, for their that God will supply their needs and materially and bless them. And their testimonies are just so wonderful. They have caused me to want to do more. And I never miss a morning of studying on the Bible World Prayer Team. Just wanted to share all that with you. I don't mean to ramble, but I'm just so appreciative of these people that are going through persecution and are so strong, and they rely so much on through the Bible and Dr. McGee and all your literature that helps them out. So just wanted to say thank you again for presenting this ministry, and I will continue to be on it as long as I am able, and I will be praying each and every morning. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Well, it's so great to hear from you, Elizabeth. And as you know, the World Prayer Team has a special place in my heart as well. So thank you for joining us, and keep praying. And together, we're going to continue to see God work. Now, if you'd like to receive the daily emails that Elizabeth is talking about and then pray with us for God's whole word to reach the whole world, then you need to click on the World Prayer Team in our app or just visit ttb.org/pray to sign up. Now, here's a great voicemail from a fellow listener named John. I hope you love his energy and enthusiasm as much as I do.
I'm calling from Exton, Pennsylvania, and I listen to WVCW or online as I get it. But I read the Bible. I've got my Bibles in 20 volumes. It's in Braille. But it's amazing how I thought I knew everything about the Bible, but listening to Dr. J. Vernon McGee, I'm learning more and more. I feel as I've only got my little toe wet in the water, and there's a lot more I can wade in to get. And it's just so wonderful. I also have one of these handheld Bible things that I'm going through Leviticus, and holy mackerel, I'm learning a tremendous lot along with Thessalonians. So I'm doing two studies with Dr. J. Vernon McGee, but it's just so wonderful. I've always liked Dr. McGee for years and years, and I'm lazy and never told you folks, but you know, he had Braille outlines for Through the Bible. No one's ever done that. That's why I give money to Through the Bible every week, because there could be some blind people out there. Maybe they're listening to it on the radio and they're not really saved. And, you know, we got to get them saved. And that to me is very important. You guys have a good day, and I thank you.
Well, thanks for your support, John. It's great to have you aboard with us each day. And I'll keep saving you a seat. Don't worry. And you know, John's right, we do offer Dr. McGee's notes and outlines in Braille to those who need them. So just be in touch and we'll get them out to you. Now, if these great messages inspired you to share your story, we'd love to hear from you. Call 1-800-65-BIBLE and tell us how time together in God's Word is encouraging you. Are you like John and you just can't get enough? So you're studying two books at a time? Or maybe you're like Elizabeth, whom God is calling to pray more frequently and specifically for our brothers and sisters around the world. We want to hear from you. Again, our number, 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, in the options, you're going to hear one for leaving your Bible bus story, and that's what you want. So from there, it's just as simple as listening to the prompt and then recording your voicemail. Or you can always send us a note in your app if you've got that on your phone, or you can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Let's pray and get to our study. Father, thank you for this journey through Hebrews and all that you do in our lives as we study your word. Use this time to mold us into the people that you've called us to be. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Turn to Hebrews 13 as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, I reluctantly am going to leave the epistle to the Hebrews, though I do not feel that I have dealt with it adequately or completely, or maybe as it should have been dealt with. But I've attempted to do the thing that this epistle does, and that is exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This epistle says he's superior to everything, and the writer here is writing to the Hebrews. Everything that was in a God-given religion, Jesus Christ is superior to all of that. And now he sums it all up, and that was back in verse 8 of this last chapter of 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we attempted last time to say something about that, that he is the same in his attributes, same in his attitude, same in his love, and same today in his person, and he'll never change. But he's not a babe in Bethlehem, and he's not going around through that land doing good. But he's right now at God's right hand, and he is Jesus Christ. He is human, but he's God. You see, he was very human when he was here. He got tired, sat down at a well, because he's tired. That's very human. But he said to the woman that came down to the well, I can give to you the water of life, and you'll never thirst again. No human being can say that. Only God can do that, friend. He was out on the little Sea of Galilee, and a storm came up, and he was asleep in the boat. Why? Again, he was weary. He was tired. He's human. But they waked him up. And he looked out over that sea, and he rebuked it. And the waves just flattened out. Why? Because he's God. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, a man that he loved, and he wept. And that's human to shed tears. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And friends, that's not human. Only God can do that. But he's wonderful in his humanity, as we said. We attempted to emphasize that, and I do that as we come here to this last part, that he today knows you, understands you, and he's our great high priest, and he's able to save us to the uttermost. Let me read a little something here. I have used this before, and I'm just going to give an excerpt from the little book of Dr. Scofield on the loveliness of Christ. And will you listen to this? First of all, as it seems to me, this loveliness of Christ consists in his perfect humanity. Am I understood? I do not now mean that he was a perfect human, but that he was perfectly human. In everything but our sins and our evil natures, he's one with us. He grew in stature and in grace. He labored and wept and prayed and loved. He was tempted in all points as we are, sin apart. With Thomas, we confess him, Lord and God. We adore and revere him. But, beloved, there's no other who establishes with us such intimacy, who comes so close to these human hearts of ours. No one in the universe of whom we are so little afraid. He enters as simply and naturally into our 20th century lives as if he had been reared in the same street. How wonderful he is. He's the same yesterday, but he's the same today, and he's going to be that way on down through eternity. You see, it wasn't the person of Christ that turned men away. It was his teaching that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. They didn't like that kind of teaching, that he was going to die on the cross. And you remember, even though Simon Peter says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he also rebuked him even at that time and said, when he mentioned going and dying, he said, Far be that from thee, Lord. May I say to you, this one here, he was one that when men came in contact with him,
They found grace and truth. They found sweetness and strength. They found meekness and majesty. They found light and love. He appealed to man. But when he died on the cross, that cross became an offense, and it still is. But Jesus is still attractive. And I think even the radicals today, and I know when they're having the riots up at Berkeley several years ago, one placard had on it this, Jesus, yes, church, no. May I say to you, that was certainly a condemnation of all of us Christians. We certainly are not representing him as he is. He's attractive, friends, and you ought to know him. Paul, who came to know him, even at the end of his life, found out that he wanted to know him better. He says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Now that I've retired, I'd like to say to you, my one ambition is to know him and to get out his word. I can't think of anything better than that to do today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let me then drop down where we left off last time. He says here, and maybe I ought to hit a few of these high points as I go along here, because there's several things that are very important as we move along in this particular section here. Let me read verse 10 again. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Now, that altar is not, as we indicated before, the Lord's Supper, as some people, I think, have mistakenly applied it. It is that altar that's in heaven today. We have a throne of grace that we can come to today. We don't have any altar down here at all. There's none for us down here, friends. And then we're told here in verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, burned without the camp. Now, again, let me say, that was the sin offering. And the sin offering is depicted here, and that is what Christ died for, the fact you and I are sinners. Not only do we commit sin, we are sinners by nature. And he took our sin that he might give us a new nature. Now we are told here, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, he died outside the city. Why? Because he's a sin offering outside of the walls of the city. We are told here, let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, we are to go unto him. We are on the way now. We've been told to a heavenly Jerusalem. This is real separation. You know, separation today, the emphasis has been on from. We're separated from something. I don't do this, I don't do that. Separation is not from, it's unto. Paul said he was separated unto the gospel, separated unto Christ, separated unto the Word of God. In fact, the word Hebrew, and he's writing to the Hebrews here, Hebrew is a word that means the one who crossed over. And Abraham was called a Hebrew. He came from the other side of the Euphrates River. And that means the old life is gone. And the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And that meant they're delivered from slavery. They are now redeemed, and there's a new life possible. Then they had to cross the Jordan, and then they lived in the Promised Land. They lived in Canaan, and the kind of a life that we should live down here. Now we're told we're to go to Jesus. And the Hebrews are told here that we're to go without the camp, bearing his reproach. These people hated to leave the temple and religion, and there are a lot of Christians today that are so wrapped up in churchianity and think because they're members of a church, they're saved. And a great many folk today need to get away from ritual, need to get away from religion, and come to Christ, friends. Come to him. And that's real separation. And by the way, it's real salvation. Now he talks here about we're to go forth unto him. And he's talking now, as we move into verse 15, to the spiritual life of believers. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. We're priests today, and we can offer to God our own selves, as we've seen, that's in the 12th of Romans, and we can offer to God our gifts, and that's in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and we can offer to God our praise, that's here, and then our performance of doing good, and that's verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And when you took that basket of fruit over to that dear, lonely, sick person, that old lady, that wonderful child of God, but everybody's forgotten her, you took that basket of fruit over, you were a priest offering a sacrifice to God, and it was well-pleasing to him. He took delight in you doing that. And I can't help but say this. When I was down flat on my back, great many people said, did you read all those letters? I read every one of them. You know why? Because every one of those was a sacrifice. There are many people that are lots worse off physically than I was. And they wrote me lovely letters. And may I say to you, many of them helped me in a tangible way. And I want to say, friends, I think that type of thing is a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. That's what he's talking about here. Christianity, if it can't walk in shoe leather, it's no good at all. What we're trying to say here and to see here is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is up yonder right now at God's right hand. That's where the head of the church is, but his feet are down here, right where the rubber meets the road. And he wants Christianity today in shoe leather. He wants to get in shoe leather down here, and he'd like to walk in your shoes. Now, will you notice what he says? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Here we have this statement again. We had it in verse 7. The thought back of this is that if you have a pastor that is teaching the Word of God and not bawling you out, not criticizing you, but giving you what the Word of God says, then you're to obey not him, but you're to obey the Word of God as he gives it to you. Be best you didn't hear the Word of God if you're not going to obey it. Now, he says something else, and I love this. He says here, pray for us, verse 18. Pray for us. Evidently, the readers of this epistle knew the writer, and I think it was Paul. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And it's wonderful to pillow your head at night and to have a good conscience. Now, a conscience that's enlightened by the Word of God. Now, a great many people that are not walking in the light, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we'll have fellowship with him. But if you and I say that we have fellowship and we walk in darkness, we're lying. John said that. I didn't say it. He said it. Now, will you notice verse 19? He says, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, that, again, makes me believe Paul wrote this. This epistle bears so many marks of the Apostle Paul. Apparently, he's in prison, and he's saying to these Hebrew Christians, I want to come back and be among you again. After all, he was a Hebrew, and he wanted to be among these people. And very frankly, as we've just seen, the word Hebrew, by the way, means the fellow who crossed over. And I wished all of us were Hebrews like that today. That is, cross over to Jesus. Come to him for new life, for new living, and new hope. How wonderful that would be. Now we come to the benediction. I've used this benediction, I'm confident, thousands of times. Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make your hearts and mind perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, there are several things here that we should say something about. The Lord Jesus is called here the Great Shepherd. He's called, you remember back in Psalm 22, he's the Good Shepherd there. And he calls himself the Good Shepherd in John 10, verse 11, that he's the Good Shepherd of the sheep. And it's the Good Shepherd who dies for the sheep. He's the Good Shepherd, but he's the Great Shepherd of the sheep also. And he's the one who perfects the sheep. That is, he builds them up. And that is Psalm 23. He's the one who leads them by still waters and gets you to the grass where it's good and green and very tender, the Word of God, you see. And then over in 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, and he's coming someday as the chief shepherd. He died in the past as the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd today. He's coming someday as the chief shepherd, and he's going to come for his sheep. And if he started out with 100 sheep, you know how many sheep he's going to have with him in heaven? Not 99. No, 100. All of them are going to be there with him. Now, we're told here that he is the great shepherd of the sheep, and that through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, may I say this is very important to note here. His blood is the basis of every covenant God has ever made, and he makes you perfect. Now, here is the purpose, I guess, of Hebrews. We're told, let us go on unto perfection. Now, what does it mean? It means to maturation, that you be a full-grown child of God. It's marvelous to see a little baby win a blue ribbon. But if you come back in 20 years, and that little baby is still lying in the cradle saying, da, 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 something's wrong. But there are a lot of saints like that today, you see. God wants you to come to maturation, to grow up. The epistle to the Hebrews will help you do that. It's the reason we stayed in this epistle so long, you see. And it's through that blood of the everlasting covenant, he make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And what is the important thing for a child of God today? What is it? Well, it's to do his will, that he might work his will in your life, working in you that which is well-pleasing in whose sight? His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. But now that's the benediction. But notice how personal this is. This is Paul here. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I've written a letter unto you in few words. And I have to smile when Paul says he wrote this in few words. This, to my judgment, is a long letter. But Paul calls it few words. And notice what he says here. Know ye that our brother Timothy, and that sounds like Paul, is set at liberty, and apparently Timothy had been put in prison, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Now, the Bible I'm using today says at the bottom here, and it's not part of the text, written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. May I say that is just some man's interpretation, like my little book is just an interpretation that Paul wrote. This man could be wrong. I could be wrong. Actually, both of us could be wrong. The important thing is, this is the epistle where the Holy Spirit wrote it, for he takes the things of Christ and he shows them unto us. That's important. And again, let me repeat it. I want you to have the little book about the authorship of this epistle. And as we said before, I wrote that when I was a senior in seminary. It's dogmatic, and it's written by a typical seminary student who thinks he knows everything. I don't know what's happened, but I seem to have forgotten all the wisdom I learned in the past. Now he says, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. So Paul's in prison in Italy. Now he closes with this wonderful benediction, and I'm going to close with it, and I can't improve on it, and I can't interpret it because it interprets itself. Grace be with you all. Amen. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a fitting way to end the book of Hebrews. If you'd like to listen to these studies again or maybe share them with a friend, they're available anytime on our app or over at ttb.org. Or to get all of Dr. McGee's 5-year studies at your fingertips, visit ttb.org and check out our Bible Bus flash drive. Now, we heard Dr. McGee say that he believes that Paul is the author of Hebrews, and he's not alone in that belief. So if you'd like to know more about his thoughts on this topic, just visit ttb.org/Hebrews to read his article, The Authorship of Hebrews, or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find it. You know, there are some great roads ahead as we continue to make our way through the Bible. So join us next time as the Bible Bus returns to the Old Testament for our first lesson in Hosea. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm going to be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Once again, our radio ministers and preachers and all those out there in Radio Land, I pray for you this morning that the power of God will move in your life as a child of God. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners this morning. Father, once again, I pray that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of those that have tuned into the broadcast. And Lord, that you would give me divine unction and utterance of the Holy Spirit, that I will speak the word of God boldly to all that tune into the broadcast. I ask your blessings to be upon the hearers, even the doers, those that do not even trust in you. I pray for them this morning that the power of the Holy Spirit will reach their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying today. And the subject that we will be expounding on is being in Christ. Being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in a church building, not in some organization, but in Christ. And we want to look at what the Word of God says today. And if you have your Bible, or perhaps if you're near where you can have a pad and pen, I would pray that you would jot down these verses of Scripture there so that you can relate to them at a later time. Because the most important thing is being in Christ, not in some building or perhaps part of some organization, but in Christ. Now, the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is most important. And if you have your pen, underline that in Christ. If therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, we are new species. We are a new creation, and the Word of God tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Being in Christ is very vital and most important, because the only way we can get back home is being in Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So we must be in him in order to get back home. And I pray today that all out there in Radio Land, that if you want to get back home, you have to be in Christ, not in some building or organization. And I want to just reiterate that, because, first of all, a lot of folks are in churches, in local assemblies, but they are not in Christ. And the most important thing is to be in Christ. The Word of God tells us that this is a preposition that is used quite frequently and most important, because in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, and by Christ is all that we have. Praise God. So in Christ. So Paul was telling the church of Corinth there, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God sees us as if we have never sinned. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? He sees us as if we never sinned because we are in Christ. Our spirit that once was dead has now been made alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into our spirit, glory to God, and brought forth regeneration. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Minister Glory, I would like for you to kind of, you know, we'll play tag team here this morning, glory to God, concerning in Christ, because the most important thing is to be in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Apostle Paul was telling us when we are in Christ that we are what?
More than conquerors.
We are more than a conqueror.
That loved us. And that's Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
You see, everything is in Christ, through Christ, and by Christ, and for Christ. Glory to God. So Paul's telling you that he said, nay, in all these things, that we are more than a conqueror. We're not just conquerors. We are more than a conqueror, but it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through us or the ability that we have to try and conquer situations and circumstances. No, he says that if we are in Christ, glory to God, that we are more than conquerors through him. I said through him. Underline that word, through him. Praise God. Through him that loved us. Jesus loved us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you today that when we continue to look at these prepositions and see exactly what transpired concerning being in Christ, most important, praise God, that we have what Jesus has afforded for us all through and by what took place there on that old rugged cross. Glory to God. So first of all, being in Christ, you're a new creature. Second of all, we, by being in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us and gave himself for us.
Amen.
That's very powerful. And mm-hmm. when we look at what's going on there, we give God all the praise and honor and glory because it is he and he alone that's able to make the difference in all of our lives. Mm-hmm. Let's look at another verse of scripture, because what we're doing is scripturalizing everything that we are talking about concerning what in Christ means.
Amen.
Many people fail to understand. They say, well, I go to church there. Yeah. And every time the doors are open, I'm there and I fellowship and so forth. But the question is, are you in Christ? That's the most important thing. Are you in Christ? You can be in the building and not be in Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've used another verse of scripture there concerning, what is it?
1 John 4:4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, Antichrist spirits.
Yes.
Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Praise God. You are of God, little children, and you've overcame them. Because greater is he that is in you. Well, who's on the inside of you? We can be everywhere. Praise God. Doesn't matter where it is. But do you have the greater witness residing on the inside of you? The scripture tells us greater, not just great, but greater is he that is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, praise God. The one that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Father, sent back the Holy Spirit to take up residence on the inside of us as children of God. Praise God. Greater. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, greater.
Greater
is he that is in us, in me, than he that is in the world. Well, we know who's in the world. The devil is in the world. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us because our bodies have become the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So greater is he that is in you or in me than he that is in the world.
Praise God.
Or perhaps the greater witness resides on the inside of us, according to what the word of God says. I believe it, praise the Lord, than he that is coming up against us.
Amen.
And that's the forces of the devil out there in Radio Land. So the greater witness is on the inside of us as children of God. Praise the Lord. We have that power. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 20, the word of God tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. If you are in Christ, you have an unction from the Holy One. Praise God. And we know all things. This is why we must be in Christ in order to accomplish everything that God has afforded for us to have as a child of God.
Amen.
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 In Christ.
In Christ. Everything is in Christ.
Glory to God.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
In the Anointed One.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Praise his wonderful name.
I know, so in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not myself, but in Christ, he strengthens me to do.
Amen. See, when we have Jesus part of the equation, then we have the capacity and the ability to accomplish whatever it is that needed to be done according to the will of God. What does the scripture say? Paul says in Philippians, he said, I can do all things. Many people today, they say, well, yeah, I can do all things. But see, they leave out Jesus. And once you leave out Jesus, it's not going to happen at all. He must be part of the equation. I can do all things. I said all things through him that loves us, through him that strengthens us, through him that gives us the ability to do the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
See, through Christ.
It's through Christ.
And that strengthens us.
That strengthens us.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. So what it is that in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. You see, it's all those things that makes it possible for us to accomplish the work that God has called us all to do out there in Radio Land. And
yes,
even behind this microphone here this morning, we must constantly and continually believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything is in him. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is why we lift him up. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We give him all the praise, and the honor and the glory. We dare not take any credit for anything because we have no ability or strength to accomplish anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Glory, you remember in St. John 15 and verse 5, I think somewhere in that vicinity there, mm-hmm. Jesus said, well, without me, you can do nothing.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
Nothing means not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't able to do anything
right
without the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's amen.
Our dependency is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, if you're trusting in anything or anybody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you have set yourself up for failure and perhaps a disaster situation. Jesus, somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the one. Glory to God.
He is the one.
And we are in him. When you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, then what happened is that when you receive him, you have everything that you need to walk this Christian journey. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need everything.
Everything.
And you have everything.
Amen.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the equation of the one that is able to meet every need that we have as children of God. Don't depend on man. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You mentioned victory, Lord, Pastor.
Praise
and,
God.
1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, that's what it is. Christ has to be in everything that we're doing. Otherwise, he said that without him, you can do nothing. So, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But, isn't that something?
But the Lord wants us to stay steadfast, though.
Yes.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you today that it is in Christ where we have the victory. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We thank God for that. I want to just kind of tell you out there in Radio Land that because of who he is, we can face tomorrow because we are in him.
Amen.
Glory to God. He paid it all.
Paid it all.
He's done it all.
He has.
Praise God. Now let's look at another verse of scripture here because we're talking about being in Christ. And first of all, the most important thing is we look at what the word says. Now, in Colossians 2, in verse 9, I want to just let you know for a moment here that the word tells us that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
I want to say that again. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Praise
all
the Lord.
Three are one. In him lives the fullness of the Godhead body and bodily. And now we've asked him to come into our lives. So that next verse tells us what, Minister Glory?
And you are complete, glory to God, in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
So in him, here's the preposition in, in him. So first of all, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then the 10th verse there, Colossians 2 and verse 10, tells us that we are complete
in him.
In him, in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing lacking by being in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I tell you, being in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, in him we live.
Yes.
And move and have our mere existence or our being. Praise God. In Christ. I tell you, when I wonder why people feel that they can do something outside of Christ and expect victory. No, no, this thing is not about us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And everything that, he has done for us. It was Jesus that suffered the wrath of God for you. God looked at him on that cross. But let me tell you something. When he was on that cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? When he was on that cross, I was on his mind. Thank God that I've been given the opportunity to look at what he's done. Receive him into my heart.
Yes.
Give him all the praise. Well, you know, Minister Glory, first of all, we talk about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we look at the word of God with God has already exalted him.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Philippians 2, let's look at what it says in verse 8 and 9 and thereafter. Praise God. Because Jesus has already been exalted. Not just exalted, but he's been highly exalted.
That's right. Amen.
And we are in him.
Right.
Glory to God.
It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him.
Amen.
And given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and then things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
According to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Praise the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we are in him.
Yes.
That positionally speaking, we know who we are and that we know whose we are.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And you know who you are, and you know whose you are. You know the victory that's been won for you, and you know who's done it. Praise God. And you know that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise God.
In him we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
Praise God. What a mighty God that we serve.
Yes, we do.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was on that cross, we were on his mind.
Yes.
He went there to take the wrath of God for us all.
Mm-hmm.
He is our substitute.
Yes.
Can you imagine for a moment, what would it look like for me going to a cross to do what? You can't die for nobody.
No, only Jesus.
It took one that had no sin.
That's right.
To die for the sins of the world.
Sins.
Amen. And I mean him, praise God.
And that's the whole world.
Yes. Each and every day, I thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for being in you. My faith is in you, not my circumstances or situations that's going on in and around my life. I am in you.
Amen.
And you are in me. And the Father, we are in us all.
That's
praise
right.
God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful. Yes. You know,
so let's look at what now, if we are in Christ, what has Christ done for us? Praise God.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
He has redeemed us. Let's look at what does the scripture says here, because we want folks out there in Radio Land to follow us from a scripture standpoint. You can look at what we're talking about. We're not sitting here making up something. We want you to follow what we're saying scripturally. Praise God. Now, Minister Glory, you said that Christ.
Yes. Galatians 3:13.
Glory to God.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
This is why, you see, we want to walk in the things that Christ has done. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse.
Yes.
See, the curse of the law.
Curse of the law.
And we know that the curse of the law was... poverty is a curse.
Yes, it is.
I want to tell you, poverty is a curse because the Word of God tells us that he who was rich became poor that we might be made rich. Let me tell you something here. The curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, if you go back and look at that, you see all the curses there. And the curses came upon those that failed to operate, to hearken unto the voice of the Lord, God Almighty, Lord thy God. Praise God, and to do that which is right and pleasing in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ has redeemed. We're redeemed through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, curses is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, he hung there on the tree so that I could be blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed. Glory to God.
That's right.
I said, I'm blessed in Christ.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not blessed in my own ability or strength.
Uh-huh.
I'm blessed in Christ,
that's
in
right.
the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been accepted in the Beloved.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
You know, you've been accepted.
That's what it says in Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, ooh, glory, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Glory to God. So the blessings is in Christ.
Amen. In Christ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord Jesus. And look at, we want to go back to Galatians 3:13 for a moment, because he said that he redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, curses anyone that hangeth on the tree.
Yes.
But he said in the next verse that the blessings of Abraham come on the Gentiles by faith. Praise
through
God.
Jesus Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Praise God. So you all out there in Radio Land, if you are in Christ, you are blessed. Don't
Amen.
Let anyone tell you anything different. You are blessed.
Amen.
Because you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the blessings are, in Christ.
That's right.
There are folks out there walking around today that are not in Christ. They are out of Christ. They have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. So let me tell you something. They have natural life, but they don't have eternal life. And to have eternal life, you must be in Christ.
Right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You must have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Praise,
hallelujah.
Praise
I tell you, I feel like shouting right
we're,
now.
We're right ahead.
Because of what? Well, we can't shout. I'm trying to teach you. Praise God. So I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and let him use me in the capacity in which he desires. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, you feel like doing things. But see, it's got nothing to do with the feelings. It's how the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful.
The moving of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, and by being in Christ, you know, Ephesians 2, glory to God. And in verse 6 there, let's look at that for a moment, Minister Gloria, because okay. What is happening is that by being in Christ,
yes,
we've been made to sit together with him.
That's right.
I want you to read that, glory to God, Ephesians 2, verse 6.
And it has raised us up together.
Good God Almighty. Has raised us up together.
And made us sit together.
Wait a minute. Has raised us up together. He didn't ask us. He made us.
Amen.
It's so important to be in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God. He has made us to sit together in Christ. In heavenly places.
Yes.
Where are you sitting today? Are you in some building or are you sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus?
Glory
now, we're
God.
Speaking from a spiritual standpoint.
Right.
Now, don't get carnal on me because the word of God is clear. Glory to his wonderful name. And we just want to let you know today, glory to God, our time has slipped away here. But the word has not slipped.
Nope, has not.
We're out of time, but we're not out of the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because
Hallelujah.
The word is all-powerful.
That's right.
And it's in our heart.
Amen.
I praise God, give him all the glory, and minister glory for the little few times that we have.
Amen.
I want you to just offer that and extend that plan of salvation, glory to God, to everybody out there. Okay. We don't know who's saved out there, who's tuned into the broadcast. But Jesus know.
Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever, that's so whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you in the closing seconds here that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to receive Jesus and be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We pray for you out there in Radio Land, and God bless you all. Unto the next broadcast is our prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.